Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 17 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm Joanna DeVoe, and you're listening to my Tuesday morning radio show. So, good morning. I hope you all enjoyed last night's beautiful full moon and that you are having a super joyful, extra creative summer so far. And if you can't tell, I'm in a really good mood this morning, so there might be a lot of this. And today I'm going to be flying by the seat of my pants and speaking straight from the heart, so there will be no resource list to refer to. This is a subject that I'm extremely passionate about, so I'm pretty sure we'll have no problem filling our 30 minutes today, and hopefully this won't turn into a rant. When I get really passionate about something, I tend to rant, so I'm going to try not to do that today. And if you listened to last week's episode, Earth-Based Spirituality, now is the time. Today's topic will seem familiar because it's kind of a continuation on that theme. But today I want to get more into the gifts of Mother Nature and how, as a culture, we've been looking this gracious, beautiful gift horse in the mouth. And what does that even mean? My mother used to say that, never look a gift horse in the mouth. And it's a funny saying, and I suppose it's a bit like saying, don't bite the hand that feeds you. But when it comes to Mother Nature, or Mother Earth, or Mum Gaia, or whatever you want to call her, we have been biting the hand that feeds us for a very long time. So it's no wonder that she is starting to bite back, and we are seeing all these crazy, you know, things happening with global warming and lots of natural disasters. And you probably have by now heard me talk all about my four-week program, Sad to Sexy, which is all about getting off the standard American diet of fake, plasticized, processed food-like products and into a more natural, juicy lifestyle of eating lots of whole foods straight from Mother Earth. So I'm not going to get on my Sad to Sexy soapbox here. If you want to learn more, you can just watch the free video series I just posted at www.sadtosexy.com, or you can just sign up for the program. And this is actually your last chance to take Sad to Sexy in 2013, and I'm not really sure yet what 2014 holds. So now's the time if you've been thinking about it. But anyway, I know it may seem weird that my primary focus here and on Kick-Ass Witch and just with this whole business is on magic, and that the very first program that I chose to put out was about food. And I do realize that many people may not find that as exciting as waving a magic wand or invoking the gods of old, but it's my deep conviction to change all that. I don't know if I'm making much of an impact so far. I know that the Sad to Sexy classes have been really fun, but I still think it's all about, in the magic community, it's all about, you know, the love of ritual and all of these cool crafts that we do and the spell work and stuff. But I'm hoping that we take our love of nature and the way we honor the Wheel of the Year and the way we, some of us call ourselves pantheists. We believe that the divine is in everything and everything is in the divine. I hope that we take that love of nature and that connection to nature to another level. And one of the biggest pet peeves of mine when I first started watching YouTube videos on magic and witchcraft was that many people would be speaking about the magical healing properties of herbs, or presenting cool healing spells while chugging Red Bull or with a Big Gulp cup by their side. And sometimes they would be grossly obese. And I really hope that I'm not offending anyone here. I don't mean grossly as in, ew, gross. I mean it as excessive. And you can be curvy. You can even be a bit chubby and still maintain your health. But obesity is not healthy. It's just not. You may still be beautiful, absolutely drop-dead gorgeous, but you are not healthy in that state, and you are definitely courting all kinds of health problems down the road. And chances are, if you've reached the level of being obese, you're probably already experiencing health problems. So why spend your time focusing on magical healing spells and collecting symbolic herbs that correspond to health when you can actually eat medicinal herbs and whole natural foods straight from Mother Nature and achieve optimal health that way? I mean, to me, that's like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. How many times do you think you're going to have to change that bandage before you finally just bleed to death? I know that's morbid. And I said I wouldn't rant, and I'm getting dangerously close to ranting territory here, but when it comes to health, there are no magical correspondences or candle spells that can outperform the pure and simple magic of Mother Earth. Nature knows best. And it would seem that money, love, and health, those are the three big issues that people go in search of magical assistance for. And I hear, I see a lot of books on money. I see a lot of books on love. I don't see so much on health in terms of magic and this whole community. And Goddess knows, though, that this community is quick to pray for a fellow witch or to send healing vibes upon request. There is so much love and light here that it's practically blinding. And seriously, I love that about this community, and I love you guys. You are the kindest, most generous people when it comes to, you know, helping a fellow witch out in need and sending the prayers and sending the love and the healing vibes. But what I would love to see, in addition to that, is a community that understands magic on a physical level and all the gifts the elements of earth, air, fire, and water provide on the material plane. Symbolism is great. Correspondences can be powerful, for sure, but it is my belief that we are not here to merely explore our spiritual aspects and the mental and emotional realms, but to also enjoy these bodies we've been given and the unique, amazing way that they interact with the planet every day in all kinds of crazy ways. Take plants, for example. I would argue that plants are the main fuel for every human being. Well, I know for sure we have an almost codependent, co-creative is probably a better word, relationship with plants in terms of breathing. You know, we breathe them in and they breathe us in, and we really can't live without one another. But I mean plants as fuel in terms of food. And even if you're a meat eater, the animals you are consuming ate plants, and you're still receiving that plant information in one form or another, whether you are a vegetarian who is eating lots of plants, or if you are a meat eater, hopefully eating a plant-based diet with a bit of healthy meat on the side. And when I say healthy, I mean meat from grass-fed, pastured, well-loved, and cared-for animals. And yes, I said plant information. Plants are informants. They actually communicate. And I believe it's Stephen Herod Buhner, a master herbalist and major plant lover, who says that all plants are psychedelic. And Terrence McKenna might have said that too. And that message is echoed in the works of other herbalists like Susan Weed, Rosemary Gladstar, and Bridget Mars, who I'm actually interviewing for Every Which Way in a couple weeks. And I'm super excited to ask her all about this DVD she has called Sacred Psychoactives. And while I think that psychoactive or entheogenic plants have a definite important place in magic and spirituality, I don't think you actually have to consume those plants, but a lot of our spiritual information that we have actually came from those plants and people who did consume them. So it is important to honor that and respect that. But I believe what Stephen Buhner was saying expands well beyond that and into the territory of what we consider just everyday, ordinary food. Every single morsel that you put into your mouth is encoded with information and literally changes your mind and your body's chemistry. It's kind of crazy to think about, and Terrence McKenna did some very interesting work on this subject, and I could listen to that man talk forever. He's got the coolest voice and these really amazing ideas. He actually once said, and I don't know if he was kidding or just saying this, you know, as food for thought, something to provoke, you know, out there thinking. But he actually said that humans and animals were invented by plants to move their seeds around. And it's just such a wild thought. And he had some really cool ideas about plants and how powerful they are and how they control us to some degree as much as we think we control them. And plants speak to us in many ways, but the most fundamental way is food, as food. Maybe actually the most fundamental way is air, but I'm going to focus on food, and I would say that's certainly fundamental to some degree. To a large degree, it's fundamental, dang it. Food is fundamental, and plants are our primary source of food. They have a chemical language that interacts with the chemicals and cells of our body in a very unique way, as does every other kind of food, including the junk, for better or worse. But if you educate yourself about real food versus processed fake food and are willing to make healthy choices, this is excellent news, because this means that we have far more control over our personal state of mind and body than we previously thought. Science used to think that our genes determined what happened to us, especially in our final chapters, which was rather fatalistic. It was, you know, a fatalistic point of view. My mother had cancer, my grandmother had cancer, so I too will probably have cancer. So I might as well remove my breasts now and try to head it off at the pass, which I know we so infamously have heard all about Angelina Jolie recently doing, which I don't know, Angelina Jolie, I know not, she's not everybody's cup of tea, but she has been a role model of mine for many years. I just think she's a strong, powerful, interesting, unique woman. You know, she got her own pilot's license. She did that of her own steam, and that is a very hard thing to achieve. It requires lots of reading and math. I'm good with the reading, but not the math so much. And she does tons of great work with the UN. Oh, geez. UNCF something. Oh my gosh, I'm in such a kooky mood today. What is the, who does she work for? UN, oh gosh, you guys can tell me. I know you know. But she does so much awesome work on the ground, hands-on work with refugees at refugee camps. And she doesn't just throw her money at a problem. She gets in there and she does the work. And I've always just really admired her for that and for just, you know, totally being herself. And she's got so much money and power, so I found it very strange that her doctors recommended that she do this barbaric thing to her body when she had a gene but did not have the cancer. And that's like a whole other subject. I know I just went off on a whole tangent. I'm actually looking at a picture of Angelina Jolie on one of my vision boards here because I do find her inspiring. But that really shocked me and disturbed me a little bit. You know, and that's the old school way of thinking, that science, you know, used to think that our genes determine largely what happens to us. But that was then, and that was wrong, and now we know differently. And I don't know why Angelina Jolie's doctors don't know differently. I know there's a lot of conspiracy theories surrounding this about how they perhaps used her, you know, to send their evil message out to the public. I don't know what happened there. But now we've got the science of epigenetics, and that is what I'm trying to get to, and that is what I wanted to talk about here. I don't really know how I got off on that tangent, but I just do that sometimes, so please forgive me. Epigenetics is the study of gene expression and how outside influences affect our genes and ultimately our DNA and the DNA of our offspring. And that is awesome. It's not just about the genes that you were born with. It's not just set in stone. Epigenetics is all about how your choices create your future, the environment you choose to be in, the food you choose to eat, and the products you choose to use. It really is an alchemical process, and it is my belief that in making conscious daily choices, you can become a master alchemist in this regard. And isn't that exciting? Isn't that magical? It is to me. And food matters in the most real way, and it's thrilling to see so many people getting into this with the homesteading and the permaculture and just even the emphasis on buying organic food. Hopefully we can outrun the GMO propaganda and save ourselves before it's too late and we evolve into a freaky science fiction experiment, which unfortunately is already happening to some degree in some places in the world more than others. But mutants in nature are becoming more and more common. I don't know that we're going to become a nation of X-Men anytime soon. I think it's going to be a much less glamorous world of babies born with multiple or missing limbs and all manner of defects that are too depressing to start our morning off with today. But my point is that despite its seeming convenience, chemically created food-like products are not doing you any favors, and neither is trying to use magic or the law of attraction to manifest perfect health when real food, healing food, is literally springing up all around you every day. Weeds, for example, are some of the healthiest, strongest, most healing plants, and they are so persistent. They want to get your attention. They pop up in the cracks of even the most carefully maintained city sidewalks. They line our freeways and the alleyways. And they're always finding new ways to outsmart our latest chemical warfare, our weed killers. No doubt, they will probably outlive us, too. I mean, people say that cockroaches are going to survive us, you know, in case of an apocalypse. But I think it's the weeds that are going to survive us. And I actually think that is a great tragedy because weeds are our friends. They want to be of service. They want to share their magic with us. And they're practically begging to. And what do? We spray them with chemicals, we yank them out, and we curse their very existence. I mean, talk about looking a gift horse in the mouth. And before you go thinking that I'm 100% against modern medicine, I want to say officially for the record that I am not. I think that Western medicine and some pharmaceuticals have their place, but I also believe they are heavily abused and should instead be seen as a last resort, the very last resort, and a distant second to real food, clean water, regular exercise, and herbal remedies. I'd also like to point out that most of our drugs are derived from plants. So there you go. Even when you think you're overriding all this hippy-dippy shit, you really can't escape the magic of Mother Earth, nature's medicine, and it is my sincere hope that you wouldn't ever want to. And I know I may have raised a few flags for those of you who practice the law of attraction. I have actually did a video on this. I can't remember if it was last year or earlier this year about somebody asked me a question about the law of attraction and how some leaders in the law of attraction movement say that it doesn't matter what you eat, that it matters your intention and what your vibration is and what you focus on in terms of the health that you create. And sure, I guess that's great in theory, but how many of us can actually hold that level of intention and vibration? And in that video I did, I talked about how in Natalie Goldberg's book, Writing Down the Bones, which is a book I've read 10 bajillion times, I love that book. There's a little story in there about how this yogi ate an entire car, wheels, oil, seats, all the little metal parts, the bumper, over the course of a year, and he did it little at a time. You know, every day he ate a little bit more until he ate an entire car in a year, and which is crazy and amazing and interesting and cool. And you hear about these yogis that can go for like huge extended periods of time without food and control, and they can control their body temperature and their heart rate using meditation. But how many of us are at that level? And I don't even know that I would want to be at that level. I love living here on the earth. I love this third dimension. Yes, there's a fourth dimension and quite possibly a fifth dimension, which I believe I'm able to access in meditation and by doing some channeling work. But this third dimension is pretty cool. And we don't know how much time we get to spend here. And it's just crazy beautiful. If you could look at it from the eyes of like an alien from another planet or just a spirit that hasn't had a chance to come into a body and experience this physical reality, you would see how amazing this planet really is and how interesting it is that we actually consume other life to keep our life going. We consume plants. We consume animals that consume plants, and it's like we're all eating each other to keep this life going. It's very strange and very fascinating, at least to me, and it's really the ultimate example of the life-death life cycle that we focus so much on in magic and, you know, in our symbolism of the moon and, you know, with its various phases and stuff. We are every single day living out this life, death, life cycle, and you cannot escape it even if you are the most hardcore vegan. You are still killing things. You are still a part of the life, death, life cycle. It is an inevitable part of being a human being, and you may see it as morbid, but I see it as being very beautiful and very interesting, and I think it's a great example, an in-your-face demonstration that life goes on, and it's not just what you can see in front of you. The spirit of everything continues on, and energy just changes form. It never really goes away. You can't destroy energy. You can just transform it, and I think that's so beautiful. And also, there's another rant I just went on, but also before I go, off topic, I have a quick question for you. I see I'm running out of time, and I've really been meaning to ask you guys this. I'm not yet ready to extend the show here to a full hour. I'm pretty comfy right now with 30 minutes every Tuesday morning, but I'm wondering if you would like me to do a call-in show at some point. With the level of service that I have here, I'm only allowed 5 callers per show, but I've just been thinking that you might have something to contribute here. And it might be fun to get to chat live. So leave me a comment on Facebook or shoot me an email at joannadevoe@gmail.com if this interests you. And I'd also just love to hear from you in general. What subjects related to magic and the law of attraction are you most interested in? What is it that you want to hear me talk about here? What are your favorite shows I've done so far? So I can do more of that, and this can be a two-way street here. And then, of course, I will be here next Tuesday, same place, same time. And if, in the meantime, you want to catch up on the other stuff I'm up to, you can always find me on Facebook or at www.joannadevoe.com. And you have to put the www.dot in, annoyingly. I know there's a way around that. I just haven't figured it out yet. And until we meet again, namaste, my friends. Much love. Peace.